It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Amputate a man's leg and he can still feel it tickling. Tell me, Mom, when your little girl is on the slab, where will it tickle you?
We're Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Last week, we talked about this ad nauseum, and I'm probably going to do it again this week. Not the whole time, but there's still fallout from this roast. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the other thing we talked about quite a bit last week, and that is Jerry Seinfeld, who we didn't get to it because I hadn't listened to the episode yet. But Jerry was on last week's Fly on the Wall. I guess by now it's 2 weeks ago. The Fly on the Wall podcast, where he had made a comment about how Howard Stern was outflanked by comedy podcasts. And he said, and let's face it, I mean, he's not really known for his comedy chops, right? I mean, he's okay. I mean, he's surrounded by good people. And he made both David Spade and Dana Carvey very uncomfortable because they both love Howard and they're on that show all the time. And he immediately issued an apology. So what I meant to say, not outflanked, what I meant to say was he's surrounded by them. And Howard's a dear friend of mine, and I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry.
He was just trying to suck up to Dana and David, I think.
Well, he said that he was not just talking about them. He was talking about all the other ones because he's been doing a lot of them. He was on Neil Brennan, and then he was on Club Random, which is one of the most boring. Even you can have a great guest on that show. I just can't take it. I can't sit and listen.
Me either.
I cannot listen. Yeah, I can't listen to Bill Maher for 2 hours. You want to drink? You want to get high? I got to practice him. I think I'm doing okay with the Jerry. I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah, was that you doing Jerry on Trambles or was that AI?
No, that was me.
Yeah, I thought that was you. It was good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I on Trambles last week, which is Tim's audio only one. I don't know why he does it. He's got this. This is fine. You know, why spread yourself thin? I did a parody of his address to the kids at Duke who got up and walked out on me. Why did they get up and
walk out? All six of them.
You're right.
Howard Stern fans, and they were mad at me. That's what happened. They were mad that I was joking about Howard, and then Howard, who is a whole army of people at Duke, they all got up and walked out. It's just odd that they're all protesters.
Them walking out, like, completely stopped the entire Gaza offensive just like that.
I know, it's over. It's over.
So glad. I'm so glad they did that.
I think
thanks a lot. Israel surrendered.
They need to block a few more celebrities on social media, and then it'll
be it. That's it.
Now, to go after people who haven't even said anything, you know, there are celebrities who don't want to weigh in on an issue.
That's why they're going after them. They won't say something.
You're complicit. Silence is complicit. Yeah.
All right. Right now, we're all going to say where we stand. We're not famous enough for anybody to care, so we don't have to.
It's all secular religion based, and I could care less.
Yep. The big three. The big three Abrahamic religions. Why did... I didn't even know Abraham... I thought Abraham killed his son. I guess he didn't. Now there's three religions, all from the same one. Four, if you count Mormonism. But I don't count Mormonism. I would like to have more than one wife, but who wants that?
You're a creepy Scientologist.
It's okay.
He's a Seinfeldologist.
I'm a Seinfeldologist. When you die, you go live in a volcano, and then you get your own planet. That's all of them together. You get your own planet,
72 virgins, you're born again on a cloud from a volcano, and you hang out with Xenu.
But you have to eat unleavened bread.
Yes, but you can also eat leavened bread on certain days.
Bobcat was on some podcast talking about that this week or last week.
What, leavened bread?
No, the whole how Seinfeld hated him and dissed him on the...
Don't even mention his name. He's not funny. He has one bit. He screams.
What did he say about it? What podcast, by the way?
Name? I can't remember, but I just saw a clip of it. He just basically said why the feud started because he called him a creepy Scientologist who dates teenage girls.
So, is Jerry a Scientologist? I didn't
know. No, he diddled around with it.
I dabbled in it a little bit. It's okay to dabble.
I think the first time they asked him for money, he was like, hey, I'm not a Scientologist anymore.
Yeah, no shit.
Or they wanted to go clear.
Yeah.
My thetans are just fine. If it doesn't annoy you, I'm going to do this the whole time like Adam Ray does Dr. Phil for 3 hours. Give it a rest.
No kidding. That's getting... The Dr. Phil, it's funny, but it's getting old.
It was funny. That's why I didn't watch this week's episode of Kill Tony. As soon as I saw he was together, I'm like, okay, I don't need to watch that. It doesn't even sound like Dr. Phil either. So that's the other thing.
That looks like a character of Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't sound like Seinfeld. What's your problem? You think you're all high and mighty? You're never going to be on Kill Tony unless you're there cleaning up after.
Tried to email. I texted Bert Kreischer. When was it? Yesterday morning. Because I have his phone number. I texted him. And it was a real nice text. And invited him to come on sometime. No reply, of course. That's okay. He doesn't know me. I'm not big enough. I told him I loved his vodka and I've been drinking it nonstop. I even let my kid have some. And he didn't even reply.
Maybe he doesn't even have that phone anymore, Sam.
Oh, it's his number because I pranked it before when I was drunk.
How long ago was that?
Last fall.
2 hours.
Oh, okay.
When I pranked Jim Gaffigan. Left messages on his answering machine. Hey, it's Jim. Leave a message.
You want to talk about heat?
I think I said something like that.
Heat 2 is coming out. I want to talk about it now.
The worst ever was when fucking Adam Carolla actually answered. Oh, no.
You got the ace, man.
No, who before that, a long time ago.
Who's the guy that used to be on the Daily Show? Remember this guy?
Lewis Black.
Lewis Black.
Yeah, I called him one night and I was trashed.
Hello.
I go, hey, man, you want to suck my cock? And he goes, sure, I'll suck your cock.
You may have actually cracked something open there. You didn't even realize it.
Well, he and I are Eskimo brothers. So, Jerry, people around the pod, certain pod people, the podcast people are saying that Jerry's done. Other people are saying that this is a rebirth for him. I don't know. Jerry's funny. He's always going to be funny. He has all the money in the world to do whatever he wants, and he can keep making goofy movies that make everybody laugh. Unless you're a snooty film critic. Howard said those comments were weird. Jerry is my personal friend. He and his wife hang out with me and my wife. We do things. But I forgive him. And he called me and he wanted to, in a sense, I think it has something to do with his relationship with his father. That's all Howard talks about now. But anyway, they're buddies again. And so moving on to more Netflix post last weekend. There's a lot of fallout from the Tom Brady roast, namely that Tom Brady didn't go to the after party, was angry and regrets that he did it. Well, no shit, right? His wife's pissed at him. His kids hate him now.
He, at first he wasn't, because he was like, they're going to pay me $50 million to have people tell jokes about my ex-wife.
Yeah.
That's fine. But then when his kids were hurt by it, that's when he started being upset.
Well, the kids shouldn't have watched it.
Yeah,
but that was perfect for Giselle, though. Just have the kids watch it, have them get upset, and then you got something to bitch about.
More of the fallout. Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura have been getting an awful lot of shit. Now, we said that we didn't really like their performance. And
they fucking bombed.
Yeah, they fucking bombed. But that's not a reason to hate them, right?
No, I don't hate them. I just think they should have maybe done it separately instead of doing it together.
I think so, too. If they had done roast jokes,
yeah,
it would have been great. And I didn't know. Go ahead.
Getting up there and comparing them to Hitler, it's not funny.
No. Sarah Tiana, turns out, wrote a lot of the jokes for that night. I didn't know that. Why wasn't she on? She's funny.
Yeah.
She was on my old coworker's radio show, Southside Steve, but he's friends with her because she used to be an intern for the Regular Guys show in Atlanta long, long time ago. But Dustin, I watched all of Jimmy Carr, which they, Two Bears, One Cave recorded an episode the day after the roast. And Tom and Bert had Jimmy Carr on. Again, here's another guy because of my self-imposed comedy boycott over the years, which is now lifted, of course, because I talk about it all the time.
But oh, he's very funny. I hate his laugh that he does.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. If you could fast forward through that fucking stupid laugh that he does, his comedy is very funny.
Yeah, he's very bright, very quick.
Yeah, he's quick. And he has no problem being non-PC.
Oh, none at all.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of went through a cancellation thing, which I didn't know about. But before, Dustin, you're going to talk about that a little bit, right?
Well, yeah. Well, it was funny because they had him on. And also with Bert and Tom, to their credit, I guess, it wasn't their decision to do what they did. It was Netflix's producers that wanted them to try something new. And so they set that whole thing up. And I think it was because they thought it would be more like something that was on Your Mom's House, where they do a lot of pictures and media with the jokes. And it's a 3-hour show. So breaking that up, how they did, kind of broke the night up a little bit. And Jimmy Carr was saying that was really interesting. But they both agreed that it bombed. I mean, it totally bombed. But Jimmy just wouldn't let up. But what was funny is Bert actually, when Jimmy sat down and they started talking about the roast, Bert said, you know, when Tony got up and was talking to me, I was reading the prompter in front of everybody. And Jimmy looks at him and goes, why, you're telling us like no one saw it. He goes, yeah. We all saw it. Everyone in the world saw it. He goes, but yeah, he was giving them shit. And in the comments, I thought something was really interesting. Everyone mentioned that nobody, if you remember the roast, everybody got roasted, but no one roasted Tom at all.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
He got left out. And the thoughts
maybe they don't like
were
it.
Maybe this was, you know, all of his peers kind of trying to let him know, you know, what you're doing is not helping your career any. And they just cut him off.
Let me ask you guys this question. Do you guys hate that show, Two Bears, One Cave? Do you hate? Now, we talked about Your Mom's House. I don't like that show because
I don't listen to it unless they have a guest that I like.
Yeah. But what do you think, Steph? Do you watch
it? Yeah, I don't listen to it. I mean, I go through spurts with like all of these shows.
Right.
Well, I'll listen to them a little bit, and then I just don't. And yeah, I only have so much time to listen to podcasts, truly.
Right.
So, you know, I got to listen to murders, and that's my main focus.
Tom did a murder podcast?
If they did that, I think I might like it. But then, you know, the Henry and them, they've already kind of covered the comedy horror. I mean, I don't think anybody else can do it better than them, than the last podcast on the left. Nobody else is going to do it better than that. But I mean, it's like the same thing with Bill Burr and Fly on the Wall, all of them. I'll listen to them all just like a little bit. I started listening to the Kill Tony, and it's, you know, pretty cool, too. But
it's long, though. That's a huge investment of time.
But Burr gets on my nerves. He just rambles on and on too much. And Tom, he just seems like a shadow of his former self. He's just not who he's not the Louisiana joke Tom Segura anymore. I mean,
when I'm scrolling through TikTok and I see a Tom Segura clip, if he's fat, I'll stop and watch it.
Yes.
If he's not fat, I just swipe up.
Yep. Jeff, you're totally right. He's definitely a victim of he lost the funny with the fat. It's gone.
I think about Bert, though. I can sit down and listen to Bert tell a story And because he's a good storyteller, and I don't care if he's making it up or not, he's trying to get a laugh. That's his job. That's what he does. I don't consider him to be a traditional set up joke, stand up comedian. And I want him to come on this show, so that's why I'm being nice.
He tells too much, though. That's my thing with him.
He does.
Yeah. He tells too much. He's too TMI. Like some of it. Which I think that's his whole persona or whatever, but just grates a little bit.
Look, I know we only get 500 to 1,000 views every week, but come on, man.
And they cut his cocaine joke.
Yeah,
yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and probably for good reason.
Yeah, probably. That's the last thing he needs.
Well, that's the thing. He's been wanting to try it, and he's so open about all the things that he does. He talks about it on Two Bears.
Right.
And when someone gets on coke, you can tell. I mean, the personality changes.
Oh, yeah. And they don't stop talking.
Exactly. And that's
which is why it's the last thing Bert needs.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know how much longer they're going to be together. I don't think it's going to last that much longer, them at least doing the podcasts. I really don't. I mean, I think Bert was successful on his own. They're both smart to get into that universe. I mean, this is all going to dry up someday. So that's why we're trying to, you know, grab onto something.
Drag us.
All right. Well, we're done talking about that. The usual shows that I watch, the clip shows, Comedy Enforcement made a point that the roast exposed the Roganverse. But I disagree with that because I think almost everybody from the Roganverse killed.
Except for Bert and Tom, everybody else is doing great. Plus, Kill Tony is selling out Madison Square Garden right now.
Yeah. Nothing happened there. And then Podcast Cringe, which I watched, they covered the same stuff we did. So, all right. As they say on Dudesy, moving on. Did anybody finish Baby Reindeer other than myself?
Yeah, I finished it.
I did.
What'd you think?
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm glad they released it during Netflix as a joke. That scene where the guy is putting his finger in his ass, where the guy is molesting him at his house, the producer. But now that has fallout too. The Fiona Harvey, who is the person that Martha is based off of, went on Piers Morgan and did an interview and then ended up lying the entire time. And he kept catching her in lies. And it was just funny to watch her explain herself. You could tell that she's that type of
person. Yeah, he was like, let me see your phone. She's like, oh, I don't have that phone anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And she can't delete the Twitter account that she did all those tweets from. So they're all there.
Right.
Well, Piers better get ready for all the emails and voicemails he's getting.
Yeah. Everybody that's interviewed her so far has had that happen to them. And she's going to sue the show. She's trying to sue for like $1.5 million. I don't think she's gonna
fucking pocket change for Netflix.
No shit.
They'll probably just give her the money to shut her up.
I just wonder, do you think she'll ever at some point actually really, really hurt somebody?
I don't know.
No, I think she's harmless except for annoyance.
Yeah, I do too. But you think about the guy, what's his name? The actor? Richard Gadd is the creator of the show, and of course he plays himself, you know, with a different name, but he is a completely flawed, terrible, awful person, probably the worst person in the entire series, because he allows this to happen to him. He gets off on being stalked. He gets off on this woman wanting to be around him, although he hates it, but he gets off on it.
I think he liked the fact that she was a fan of his.
A fan or an obsessive?
Yeah. The fact that she was maybe one of the first people that liked his comedy.
That's true. You see that scene in the bar where she starts, or in the comedy club where she starts laughing and other
things.
So in a way, she might have been a muse.
Yeah.
It explains, you know, why, too, with the whole molesting of him and whatnot. Where his headspace was in when she came into his life.
Yeah, after all that anonymous sex that he had with everybody. And then he couldn't get it up for his girlfriend. I like that actress, too. That character was really good, too. Good show. I mean, that guy has a bright future ahead of him, Richard Gadd. Good storyteller. well shot, interesting topic. So he definitely has that.
What a wonderful day!
I'm wearing my shirt tonight, my Escape from the Planet of the Apes shirt. I think I'm the only one who saw the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is the newest, the most recent film setting up a new trilogy of films. No one else saw it, right?
No, I thought about going over the weekend, but I just got high and didn't go anywhere.
Well, I won't belabor it then. Wes Ball is the director, and he's taken the original material, which is the rebooted films, and the James Franco, and then the two that came after that, the one with Gary Oldman, which is Dawn, Rise, and War for the Planet of the Apes. It's 300 years in the future, and this is a new group of apes. Caesar's long dead. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Was Dana Gould in it?
No, he wasn't, unfortunately.
He should have been.
Dana Gould. There was a gay orangutan, but I won't spoil how that comes up. It's very subtle. They're like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is a Disney movie. You got to have that in there. But it was really, really good.
I'm surprised Monkey Sex 39 didn't see it.
35.
Oh, 35.
Yeah.
39 did see it. 35 didn't.
39 saw it, and I read all the reviews. If you're into this genre of movies like I am, I love the Planet of the Apes movies, even the really bad ones. The original five, I think three of them are good. One of them is okay, and then the last one with Paul Williams is terrible. But it's still a Planet of the Apes movie. I like the shitty TV show from the 70s. I like the cartoon. The difference in the cartoon, the animated show in the 70s, is when the astronauts land, the apes have a modern society with cars and planes and stuff like that. And then you have the Tim Burton one exists in its own universe because it was so universally panned they didn't give him money to make any more. But the way that they're telling the story now, if you like the first three, this is a time jump.
They're doing amazing shit with the motion capture.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah. People are complaining they want to go back to practical effects, but you can't now. You know what, you're going to have 1,000 years from now, they're all walking erect and looking like Roddy McDowell.
Yeah.
But I'm ape for the apes. And then lastly, before we move on, what's going on with people in New York City hating Boardwalk Empire? Steve Buscemi had the shit beat out of him, ended up going to the hospital. The guy got arrested, but there's no motive, right? Did the guy just hate Boardwalk Empire?
No, this has been going on for a while. Just people just randomly punching people in New York City.
Michael Stolberg got attacked in yeah. Central Park. Somebody threw a rock at him because they didn't like his portrayal of Arnold Rothstein in Boardwalk
Empire. He chased that guy down, though.
He did? And
got him himself, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Mm.
Jeez, man. Leave our aging. We're aging, so. But he's older than us. Leave our aging actors alone. Steve Buscemi was a hero. He was
a fighter. I did that to Rick Moranis a couple years ago.
I know. Because his name has anus in it.
Yeah, there must be some sort of a challenge, you know, that you have to find
some kind of gang thing.
If you see a celebrity on the street, you got to punch him in the face.
Did the guy say anything to him or did you just attack him?
Punch him in the face. That's it. I don't think any of these ones, none of them, they have said anything. You just get punched in the face. You're just like walking along, looking at a bird. Bam, you get punched in the face.
Yeah, that happened to the prime minister of Slovakia today. He's just walking along and somebody shoots him in the head.
Oh. Well.
Out of nowhere. Why do people keep trying to assassinate the presidents of Slovakia? Why can't they get back together with the Czechs? Czechoslovakia, one country.
Me and my friend Tony followed Alec Baldwin for like 6 blocks in New York one time.
You did?
We should have punched him.
No. Yeah, maybe. You'd be famous. If you do it now, you don't go to jail. You would have been. Did he notice you were following him?
No. He was talking to people. He was going the same way we were, and we just happened to be following him. Mm-hmm. People were coming the other direction. We're talking to him.
Was he speaking to them? That must suck to be a celebrity in New York.
I think it'd be pretty hard to sucker punch Alec Baldwin, though.
Yeah.
He's probably always waiting for it.
Yeah, and he's ready to beat the hell out of you.
I saw Penn Jillette one time. I should have punched him.
You want to punch everybody, you say.
You get a ladder to punch Penn Jillette, wouldn't you?
I was in New York City once and walking. I think it was 2003. Must have been 2003. I was there with Autumn Fisher. And we were walking down the street and by Central Park, and Ben Stiller walked. He was wearing like a jogging getup and he had headphones on. And I noticed him and he just went, you know, he put his hand up, acknowledged it, and kept walking. I didn't bother him. And then one time Jeff and I were in New York City and I swear I saw Yoko Ono cross the street, but I don't know why she would have been in Greenwich Village.
I saw Fred Schneider having breakfast one time in New York City.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was he having? A rock lobster?
Pancakes, I think.
Pancakes. My kid has pancakes every morning, but they're frozen and they're small, so I can microwave them. She pushed a kid out of a chair yesterday at daycare.
Oh, no.
I'm like, why did you do that? He wouldn't play. All right, that's a good excuse. So this morning when I dropped him off, I made him give the boy a hug and say he was sorry. He was like, how do I do that? Just go up, give him a hug, say you're sorry. Your gigantic 3-year-old.
Did the boy accept a hug?
Yes, he did. But the boy, I think, is 2 or just turned 2. So he understands it even less than Gilbert.
He had completely forgotten about it.
Yeah. We're trying to ask him last night, why did you do it? And it's like asking a dog why it shit on the floor. You're not going to get an answer. Speaking of dogs, I must say that last Wednesday when I got home, we record the show on Wednesdays. I went to bed, and when I woke up Thursday morning, one of our sweet little Boston Terriers had passed away. And so Rizzo, and it's pop culture related because her dog mommy named her after Rizzo from Grease, and she passed away. So she's in doggy heaven now, which when my son came home from Tybee Island, he went, Rizzo's in 11. And I said, no, Gilbert, that would be
all great. Dogs go to 11.
Yes. Yeah. And Drake goes to 11. All right. This isn't a big deal or anything, but Andrew McCarthy, who is one of the quintessential Brat Packers from the 80s. What has he done since? We'll have to look into it. But there is a Brat Pack documentary coming out on Hulu on June 13th. It's called Brats, and he's the executive producer. And anyway, he sits down with David Bloom, who is the journalist from New Yorker magazine or New York magazine, who coined the phrase in 1985. And I'm going to watch this because that's right up my alley. I love we're all Brat Pack adjacent, at least.
We're the Breakfast Club generation.
We are.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
Yeah. Are you finished?
No.
Not even close, bud.
Yeah, there you go. I got you for the rest of your natural born life.
Tim, does Barry Manilow know you've been raiding his wardrobe?
You'll find the answer to that question next week. You mess with the bull boy, you'll get the horn. So I thought it'd be fun if we all just sort of named. We don't have to write a treatment for the sequel. That was an idea I had. You don't have. I'm going to say the best and the worst Brat Pack movies, and then your favorite actor and favorite actress. Now, I'm basing mine off the time, because when you hear my favorite actor and actress, you're like, oh, they're not around anymore. Well, they are, but they just don't do a lot anymore. Not since that pirate movie where she had sex on the boat. Anyway, my favorite Brat Pack movie is The Outsiders, which I think came out long before that term Brat Pack, but they're all in it, including Tom Cruise and Emilio Estevez. They're all in it. The Swayze, Rob Lowe. I love The Outsiders. Francis Ford Coppola movie based on S.E. Hinton book. That's one of the first movies. I didn't have a VCR, so I recorded it off of HBO on a cassette, and I would just listen to it over and over again. So that's my favorite. And my least favorite is St. Elmo's Fire. I never liked that movie. I watched it once and thought, this is dumb. Good song, though. My favorite actor is Judd Nelson from that era, from those films, as a Brat Packer. I love Judd Nelson. He had a movie, a non-Brat Pack movie that came out in the late 80s where he was, it's called From the Hip, right?
Oh, yeah, Stormy Weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Underrated. Go ahead.
With what's his face?
John Hurt.
John Hurt, yes.
Yeah.
John Hurt.
I was the doctor in the Christmas special 10 years ago. I was also in Contact.
The 16 Candles, Cows of Brat Pack movie?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be mine, then.
All right. And then my favorite actress, Molly Ringwald. I loved Molly Ringwald. And I fell in love with Molly Ringwald when she was on Facts of Life. All right. Those are mine.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, I'd definitely be Breakfast Club is first for me.
Yeah.
And I love St. Elmo's Fire, Tim. I mean, obviously, it's a chick flick for sure because
it does lean toward women. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Rob Lowe. And then
yeah, Rob Lowe's probably my favorite of the Brat Packers.
Well, and he gives the pity bang to Mayor Winningham, which yeah. is like, you know, as a dumpling girl myself, I thought, oh, if he'll bang her, maybe I could get a shot at that sweet, sweet, you know, but the, so yeah, that's why
I'm getting ducky.
But I thought Animal's Fire was not a good movie, but I liked it anyway. But Breakfast Club is my favorite and favorite act, probably Rob Lowe.
Yeah. You got a favorite actress from that era?
I mean, I guess Demi Moore. She was a good actress.
That's right. She was in the Brat Pack. Is Less Than Zero a Brat Pack movie or is it too late?
Oh, yeah. It's Brat Pack.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. and...
Yeah.
One Crazy Summer of Better Off Dead could be considered Brat Pack movies, too, then.
They are.
Why? How?
Because they have more than one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they...
Cusack's Brat Pack adjacent.
He is, but they're above that. They're above that. They're funny movies that exist in their own universe. I agree, but I like to put them like way up here. And then the Brat Pack movies are kind of like right here.
My favorite Brat Pack movie would be Weird Science.
Yeah. Oh,
God, I even think
that's a good one.
It's one of my favorites. Breakfast Club, yes, but it's been, I don't know if just because I've seen it so many times, it's kind of lost its whatever I held dear for it, but. And worst was Class.
That movie sucked.
Yeah, it's terrible. Weird Science is such a timeless movie, though. It's so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Favorite RDJ. Actor was Emilio Estevez.
I always
liked him. And if we're going along the extended Brat Pack, then Young Guns would also be considered a Brat Pack
movie. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Except for they didn't allow, you know, guys like Lou Diamond Phillips into the Brat Pack.
Molly Ringwald is also my favorite actor.
Navajo.
Red Dog. That chicken.
That horrible Bon Jovi song. Blaze of Glory.
That was an exciting one.
Oh, Weird Science was hilarious, though. I saw that in the theater.
Oh, that'd
be
great.
That guy goes, can we keep this between us? I'd really hate to lose my teaching job.
Yeah, I mean, the guy from The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
Yes. That guy was in a lot of movies playing, always played a creep.
Can we keep this between us? I'd hate to lose my teaching job.
God bless you.
It was a Weird Science quote is how Neil and I ended up together.
Weird. No way. How?
I made a reference. We were in like an AOL hotbed chat room in 1997, and I made a Weird Science reference, and he was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And so then we just started chatting. And the next thing you know, it's 20 million years later.
That's a nice story.
Yeah. That's kind of like, it's been the basis of our relationship is that we've always liked a lot of the same crap. So even when we can't stand each other, we still like the same things.
That's cool. Then you can go on AOL chat rooms and talk about it.
Right.
Now they just text each other from the same room.
Yeah.
Ew. Ew. That was Gary.
Who is this Gary character?
I didn't think it was a whale's dick, honey.
Oh, yeah. That's peak Paxton right there.
Hell yeah.
You're skewed, butt wide.
Yeah.
How about a nice, greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray?
Get to the bottom of this, but first I'm going to butter your muffin.
I said, yeah.
You two donkey dicks couldn't get laid in a morgue.
A lot of great quotes from him. Rest in peace, by the way, that dude. All right, so that's we're all going to watch that documentary. I guess we'll talk about it afterwards.
It's news, trailers, and trends with Steph.
I mean, you're probably not going to watch this, Tim, but I know that Jeff and I, probably Dustin, are going to watch The Office reboot. At least give it a chance.
I'll give it a chance.
Yeah,
I'm going to throw out some
into it.
they throw some plot details this week just to kind of let you know that it's going to just be set in the Office universe. Nobody from the original show is going to be in it. It's going to be set like at a newspaper in the Midwest that's trying to stay alive, obviously, in this day and age. Not a lot of print media.
Okay.
So I think it, I mean, just the fact that it's all new characters, that intrigues me. And I love Abbott Elementary. So they took the Office format and they've ran with it and they've done a wonderful job with it, which, you know, it's pretty hard to replicate Parks and Rec in the Office. And so it gives me hope that this will probably be good if they have the same type of creators.
The only connecting tissue between the Office and this is it's supposed to be the same documentary crew.
Yeah.
But at a different location. So,
all right.
That was the plan originally. He was going to make and have the Office go on for a few seasons and then do a totally new show like The Hospital.
Okay.
You know, it would be just something different with a whole new cast of people.
Right. This isn't going to be on NBC.
It's going to be on Peacock.
Peacock.
Is it going to be called The Office, do you know?
No, I don't know what it's going to be called.
It'd probably be called The Paper or something like that. Yeah.
But Carell's not going to be on there. I mean, the lead guy on here is Domhnall Gleeson.
Because he killed Michael Scott in that show. Kidnapped him.
Yeah. I never finished that. That was a crazy show, but I never finished it.
Oh, sorry for the spoiler alert.
He did kill him. Yeah. Oh, well, shit. Okay.
What show are you talking about?
That show where Michael Scott was a psychiatrist. And he was a psycho and he killed people and he wanted help. So he kidnapped Michael Scott and held him in his basement.
And killed him.
At the end, sorry, spoiler alert.
And I just want to talk to Hannibal Trump for a minute, because he made a big appearance at New Jersey.
Well, I did a big rally in New Jersey over the weekend, and for some reason I kept bringing up the late, great Hannibal Lecter. A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Diet Coke, washed it right down. You know, Joe Biden wouldn't even bother to eat the beans. They have to make it into a pablum for him. We begin by coveting what we see every day. And for Joe Biden, that's life. People breathing, having a conversation, thinking, not having a dead brain. Don't you feel eyes moving over your body, Melania? They're not mine. Mine are looking at a porn star with big fat jugs. And don't your eyes seek out the things you want? Mine do. And then I pay for them. Amputate a man's leg and he can still feel it tickling. Tell me, Mom, when your little girl is on the slab, where will it tickle you? You know how quickly the boys found you all those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back of cars. Well, you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, all the way to the corrupt FBI and the whole Justice Department run by Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, and their only goal is to keep me from speaking in front of you today. Speaking in front of you. You still wake up sometimes, don't you? You still wake up in the dark and you hear the screaming of the limes. The screaming of the limes as you make key lime pie, and then you dip it in Cheetos and you put Cheeto dust on it and you eat the key lime pie with the Cheeto dust, which is something that a person on this show did the other day. Quid pro quo. I tell you things, you tell me things. Not about this case, though, about yourself. Quid pro quo. I don't even know what that means. I read it in a book. Yes or no, I'm going to eat this police officer who is in a movie that I liked a lot. Did everybody see the movie? He was the first, he was the first sheriff on Squidbillies, which is my favorite Adult Swim show. I mean, bar none, it's Adult Swim, and I even like the ones with Tracy Morgan. I see people on Reddit all the time going, I can't watch it anymore because Unknown Henson was a bigot and a racist. I get it, but you know, you still laugh, right? And a lot of people a lot of people count on getting money for that. Why, Tim Andrews just got a check last week for $8 from an episode, okay, that's been streaming a lot thanks to the new SAG-AFTRA streaming laws, okay? It's good for Tim Andrews. He can buy maybe a pack of smokes, at least 3/4 of one with that kind of money. It's fantastic. Watch Squidbillies. Last one. All good things to those who wait. I've waited, but how long can you wait, Jackie boy? Or how long can Jackie boy wait? Who is he talking about? Jack who? Jack Smith? The corrupt prosecutor who is trying to punish me for taking home a box of documents like who hasn't? Like Joe Biden put him in the back of his Corvette. Our little Billy must be looking for that next special someone. It's probably Nancy Pelosi, but they probably would leave her in the will because she's old and ugly. All right, I gotta go. Thank you very much. The late, great Hannibal Lecter.
That's what that speech was called.
The late, great Hannibal Lecter, yes.
I don't know where that came from, but it was funny.
Oh, it's like
the stupid, funny shit that he did when he was running the first time. Not the political stuff, but when he would go off and just say the most outrageous, ridiculous stand-up comedian type stuff, that was the stuff that was funny.
I think he doesn't even believe that he gets away with what he gets away with.
I don't believe he's pushing the envelope. I had sex with a horse with breasts, and now I'm in court after I paid her to shut up and she didn't.
Well, it just gave us a preview, I'm sure, of the coming debates, which will be just riveting.
Oh, the debates are going to be fantastic. Right here in Atlanta. No audience, thankfully.
Yeah. They got a new South Park coming out. Is it a new full-length movie?
Yes. And who knows about these things until you see them on X? Did you guys all know about this already?
No.
And so I guess Cartman goes on Ozempic. I'm sure this is going to be very funny.
The trailer, thankfully, did not have a lot in it because I hate it when trailers spoil everything. But it's called South Park, The End of Obesity.
So. If anybody can lampoon the Ozempic business, which, everybody that I know that has taken it has lost a lot of weight. But then as soon as they stop taking it, they gain all the weight back.
Do they get immediately the boobs? The boobs deflate when you take Ozempic. So women are now these slapjacks.
I don't know anybody who has kept off weight that has taken Ozempic. So it's like you got to stay on it forever. But whatever.
It turns you into a diabetic, by the way. So whatever. I don't care.
Have you guys seen this live stream portal? Any video of the live stream portal that they've got in New York City?
I saw the guy that was trying to see his cousin in Ireland.
Yeah.
And then she said he was waiting for her to get there, and people were showing fucking Nazi shit.
Yeah.
The planes crashing into the towers and stuff.
Yes.
And then the OnlyFans model who flashed her titties.
Yeah.
And so because of all that, they had to temporarily shut it down so that they could cordon off some of this inappropriate behavior on the Dublin side.
What do they expect on the Dublin side?
They put it in like the worst fucking neighborhood too, in Dublin.
Yeah,
You have to expect that. That's what people are going to do. Oh, there's a bunch of people in New York. I'm going to go show them my dick. You can't put that thing there and expect people to. Remember when in 2017 or whatever, right after Trump was inaugurated, Shia LaBeouf put that camera. Put that camera in New York doing Trucker. Jesus. He put that camera in New York and it was on hewillnotdivideus.com. Yeah. It was constantly trolled, which was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, make a statement some other way.
Agreed. I don't know what they thought was going to end up happening. Nothing good.
I think it's funny.
It is funny, but nothing good's going to come. If they would have put it in London, I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't have got as many Nazis.
Piccadilly Circus or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe.
Totally.
I don't know if you guys have seen all the brouhaha going on between, this isn't really our thing, but the Gen Zs and the millennials are having an all-out war over ankle socks right now.
I'm cutting all my socks down to be ankle length.
Gen Z has canceled ankle socks. They are for old people. 100%.
You used to come home and put on your ankle socks and watch TV at night, like MASH and your show of shows and Laughing and all that crazy stuff. And now you can't come home and put on your half socks or your ankle socks. You have to come home and put those ones that go all the way up to your thighs. It's not fair.
which I don't give a crap. I like my ankle socks, and I've been wearing them since I was very young. So I don't know where Gen Z is getting this crap at. And their shit, they're wearing knee socks. It's summertime. It's hot. They've got these damn socks that come halfway up the calf. Like it's an episode of White Shadow or some shit. I mean, like,
yeah, I was going to say they look like gym coaches, right?
Yeah, it's not a great look. That with, and then they're wearing them with what? Crocs and whoever else knows. But anyway, thankfully, we've stayed out of the fray. Gen X is, we'll wear both, right?
Yeah.
If it's both clean, I'll wear it.
Yeah, but that's
about the extent of why I care, you know?
This shirt is dry clean only. That means it's dirty, Mitchell. All right, well, last one.
All That star Lori Beth Denberg has said that Dan Schneider showed her porn and initiated phone sex. And big shock, Schneider is denying it and saying it was wildly exaggerated.
And she was 19 at the time.
Oh, all right. Bad for your boss to do that to you. Like when I worked at McDonald's, my manager wasn't showing me porn, but you know, he would have had it. He would have said, "Hey, watch this," and put it in the VCR. So I would have been. Yeah, I don't want to dip into this one too much other than, you know, the guy was a dick. But he proved that he did bad things that are, you know, actionable or don't. I don't care. The documentary was good. It made him look like a creep.
Yeah. Where was she when this documentary was being made? She was not in it at all.
Right.
And that may be just kind of like her way of getting in on this a little bit.
Yeah.
Was she the big girl?
Yeah.
The Boys has already been renewed for season 5. Season 4 is not out yet.
The season 4 trailer, though, is wow.
Yeah, The Boys is awesome. Jeopardy is getting a spinoff. Amazon Prime, it is a pop culture edition. They don't have a host yet, so you can look forward to that. This story bummed me out. Nicolas Cage is going to star in a noir 1930s Spider-Man show on Amazon Prime. First of all, how come Amazon Prime is getting it and not Disney?
Spider-Man's one of those ones that's up in the air still.
Yeah. Tony owns it, right? Yeah. I would rather see a gritty 1970s, you know, continuation from the original Spider-Man when it was the 60s or whatever. They did a good job, the artists in the 70s in the comic book, of showing New York, gritty kind of streets. I would like to see that. Of course, I'm going to...
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it, too. I like Nick Cage and...
I love that character. That, I mean, it was an awesome character to begin with. So,
yeah. Rings of Power returns on August 8th, if you're interested in that. And then for all you boomers, you can shut the hell up because they're going to bundle streaming. Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max are going to bundle themselves up, and you'll be able to get them from your overpriced cable outlet that won't carry the Braves. Anybody watch Club Random? We talked about it earlier. Bill Burr is the most recent guest, and all he did was make fun of him and destroy him for the entire episode, which was good, but I'm still not going to watch it. Except for the one part where Bill Burr does say that cancel culture is over and suggests Louis C.K.'s return, as it's been long enough. I would say that Louis C.K. didn't go anywhere.
He did for a little while, but I think he's been
back for a while.
Yeah.
He's done 3 specials since then.
Yeah.
He'll never be what he was, though.
No. He should, though. He was so fucking funny.
I'm glad he won't be out there in the mainstream anymore because that means he'll do edgy stand-up. Because his stand-up was getting to be kind of milquetoasty compared to his early stuff, and then it got real dark and angry again, and that's the Louis C.K. stand-up that I like.
Do you think that he would do it again?
Do what again? Jerk off in front of somebody?
Yeah.
Probably, if he was allowed to. I think he'd ask first this time.
That's what I was wondering.
He asked last time.
Well, he didn't ask the one.
No.
The one that said no. The one that
I would hope that he would have at least went to like enough therapy or something for him to understand that even asking is very fucking weird.
Yeah.
So right. Don't even ask, bro.
Yeah, you totally shot me down when I asked you.
Jeff, you oddly used to let me do it all the time when we lived together. Does anyone watch Superfly, which is the YouTube? I think it's just a one-on-one kind of conversation between Dana and David.
I listened to it. I haven't watched it yet.
Well, they were on the other day talking about the Netflix is a joke fest where they're all out in California. I don't think Dana's there, but David Spade was. And he was playing golf with Cat Williams. And they were both doing impressions of him, but they sucked.
Yeah, both impressed. I was surprised
that
Dana's was so bad.
Their impressions suck, bitch. I couldn't believe how terrible they were. The one thing that came to my mind when I was playing golf with David Spade is he said he has to do things. And I said, nobody makes you do anything you don't want to do, bitch. Dana, I thought Dana would be able to do a good impression of me, but he did not do a very good one. And neither did David Spade, whose only good impression is of Michael J. Fox. I sort of sound a little bit.
He does a good Casey Kasem, too.
Well, that's true. I don't know who that is, bitch. Sir. I'm going to go do another one-hour stand-up special that is intolerable and uneasy on the eyes and ears.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
All right, here we go. Tamed Shrew 235 says the Bernie Atlanta Pizza in Euro commercial was SNL worthy. Thank you. I think so too.
I don't do a lot of Bernie anymore on the show, or at least I haven't in a couple weeks because it might be too political, but we just made fun of Trump. So who cares? I learned the time. How great that I got a notification for this being uploaded right as I'm about to go for a walk. Thank you very much. Going for a walk, listening to this type of show, really clears the mind. Really clears it. Clears it out so much that you decide to run for Senate again when you're 82.
You're walking and watching YouTube videos at the same time? That's,
or you could listen.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Don't fall into the hole.
Tame Shrew 235 also said, remember when Pat Boone tried to be a rock star? We were talking about Pat Boone. In relation to what? The Cat Williams special? I don't remember what I'm talking about.
No, it was Steph's sister going to Cat Williams.
Oh, that's
show.
Right. Yeah, I went that Cat Williams show.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable.
Yes. Deeb 2359 said, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Deeb.
Fuxi says, Unfrosted featured my favorite cereal as a kid, Apple Jacks. When I was around 5, we still got milk delivered in glass bottles by the milkman. We had to go to a dairy, but they were in glass bottles.
Yeah.
I had an Apple Jacks bowl and a matching mug. One summer morning, I had my cereal already in my bowl, and my brother went to get the milk from the case. My mom was talking to the milkman, so the bottles were on the step inside of the box. My brother opened the door and tripped on the bottles, breaking them and wildly cutting his foot. I'm waiting for the milk, so I go to see what the holdup is. I look in the garage and all I see is my mom and brother freaking out with blood and milk and broken glass all over the garage floor. I got in trouble for looking at this gory scene and yelling, I don't got no milk for my Apple Jacks. I think we can all empathize with Fuxi on that one.
I want to know why his mom was chatting up the milkman.
Well,
he is maybe. The milkman.
Yeah, the milkman rings twice. David Goodman, 8342, says, when Jeff and Steph came up with their cereals, I immediately thought of the perfect make-believe cereal for Radio Labyrinth. Glory holes. I haven't quite completed the cereal box design in my head, but in my head movies, but there are definitely two overly excited generic white kids in the mix. Jeff made one, a couple of them. The first one says Glory Whores, H-O-R-E-S. It's hilarious.
I can't handle text prompts.
No.
I had to fix it.
It looks good. Oh, you did it in Photoshop?
Yeah.
And then the last one you did, when I saw it, I almost fucking died. It's like two Captain Crunches, and it says glory holes, and their mouths are open. So that's fun.
A little bit splash of milk in between them.
Yeah. But what do glory holes taste like?
Yeah, what do they taste like?
They're kind of salty.
Sad and salty.
Sweet and salty. And
duct tape, bathroom, salty apple.
Fabuloso.
Yes.
That's a nice glory hole you go to, Dustin.
Man.
Yeah, only the best.
Hi, it's Bernie Sanders for the Podburn and all that. Spring is here, and we're excited for warmer weather. Stop in to Atlanta Pizza and Euro for one of their 16 ice-cold draft beers and ciders on tap. They do not have Bernie malt liquor yet, but we're working on it. Try one of the many local craft and domestic beers available in cans and bottles. I hope they recycle them because it's very important. Their featured selection this spring is Their featured selection is this spring is Sweetwater Brewing's Half a Gummy Fruit Punch IPA. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a plot reference. It's IPA. It's got fruit punch, which is what you drink when you're high. You know, the guy, the Hawaiian punch guy with the hat. Delicious. It's easy drinking, sweet tasting IPA with low bitterness and delicious fruit flavors. APG is a longtime favorite of Conyers and Covington and the East Metro area of Atlanta, Georgia. They're made to order pizzas, gyros, or gyros, however you say it, pasta specialties, and Greek salads are absolutely the best around. They wish to sincerely thank everybody for their business and support, both now and into the future. They have a food truck. Their events are going on regularly, but if you're interested in booking one, just contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. I don't know about the glory hole. You guys said earlier it was open again. I doubt it. Celebrity voice impersonated.
Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
His views.
And snooze.
Yeah, last week was Dark Matter, The Goat, and the Mark Twain Prize, which I watched all of them. Dark Matter is really good on Apple TV. Recommend it. The Mark Twain Prize was pretty good. Chappelle was the best. Seinfeld was good. Nick Cannon prank was funny. The Goat is okay. It's just a reality show. Daniel Tosh brings nothing to the table.
No.
Yeah, just his name on it and money you can get off of it.
He wears crazy outfits. That's his shtick for this show. It's okay if you're into reality shows. This week, the whole show comes back out of range on the 16th.
The whole show? The Glory Holes with Captain Crunch? Outer Range, which I enjoyed the first season. Did you?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that show a little bit on Dudesy this week.
Number two, The Big Cigar. This is going to be on Apple TV. Looks pretty cool. It's kind of like a period drama about Huey P. Newton when he went to Cuba.
Okay.
It looks pretty good. I've seen a few trailers for it. And Spacey Unmasked, which is out now on HBO Max. This is like a 2-hour documentary about all the shit that they're saying Kevin Spacey did.
I'm definitely going to watch that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Time for staff picks. I'll give you mine real quick. Stax, Soulville, USA, which premieres Monday the 20th on HBO Max. It's an original documentary series that captures how an underdog record label launched a movement and superstar musicians like Isaac Hayes, Otis Redding, and others. The trailer hooked me immediately, so I'm in.
Mine is Bodkin. Are you guys watching this on Netflix?
I've watched like three of them. I'm not that into it. It's okay. I don't like Will Forte being all serious.
Bodkin?
Yeah, but I don't think of him as being serious because there's a lot of low-key humor. If you keep going with it, Jeff, I mean, lots of low-key humor. But I like it. It's like an Only Murders in the Building, but more dramatic.
Yeah.
It's not as zany.
What's going on with this? He owes people money.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Keep watching it. And it's a good mystery. Every single episode, you think it's going one way and then it's something
else. I like the reporter lady.
Yeah, the chick who's she's also in trouble back in London and everything like that. But yeah, the whole cast is great. Everybody in the town is excellent. They don't want them there doing that podcast at all, digging up this old mystery in the town of Bodkin in Ireland. And the scenery is gorgeous. So check out Bodkin on Netflix. I love it.
All right.
Mine is Conor O'Malley's stand-up special just released on YouTube.
Funny?
Yesterday. Yeah, it's very funny. You know Conor O'Malley from Detroiters and...
Oh, yeah.
I think you should leave.
Holy shit, that guy's funny. I'm going to have to
watch.
Yeah, okay.
We've been talking about and doing the reaction stuff on the Patreon show. One of my favorite reaction channels is called Cinebinge. It's two Canadian, a girl and a guy. They're in their early 30s. So I've watched them for the last couple of years, and they've went through all these movies that we all grew up on. And it's fun to just go through, and both of these people have a great sense of humor, and they get where everything's coming from. But it was interesting to see people's a different generation's point of view on a lot of our favorite movies. And these are by far the best when it comes to reaction channels. So Cinebinge on YouTube.
I kind of check that out. Those.
Don't you? I like to watch some of those different ones.
Yeah, some of them I do.
Especially if they get it.
Yeah.
If they don't get it.
Sometimes they have a different point of view. Like what was like The World's End, the Edgar Wright movie.
Right.
And I didn't take it as a serious movie looking at addiction. And I didn't look at it through that light. But when I watched them watch it, and they were so concerned with his mental stability and his well-being for that character, that it made me think about the movie differently. And that's why I like the reaction channels, because, you know, my opinion that I develop on a movie that I've watched 20 times, and then to watch somebody else watch it and have a completely different opinion on it and be able to see that makes the movie better to me for some
reason. Yeah, I like that. That's a good way of doing things. I like, you see things or you hear things that you didn't maybe notice. So that's cool. Awesome. I think. I like to watch millennials watch comedy movies from the 80s and get upset. Anyway.
Look at all those ankle socks.
All right. Hey, let's do some plugs. You can check out my show, Trambles, which is adjacent. It's in the Radio Labyrinth audio feed. So wherever you find your podcasts in that way. Basically, just goof off, talk about my life a little bit. This week's, I enjoyed doing a Seinfeld thing, so you can check that out. Popcast is a radio show that I do on 95.5 WSB in Atlanta. If you live anywhere else, you can probably pick it up on 750 AM if it's at night, which it is, 7 PM, but the sun's up, so maybe you'll have to wait and get it on the podcast, which comes out the following Monday. Or, hey, you know, modern era and everything. If you have a smartphone, you can download the WSB radio app and listen to it on that if you so choose. My guest this week, comedian Mario Adrian. Have you guys ever heard of him?
No.
He's a German comedian. He's 30 years old. Now I'm 23 years older than all these young comedians who are out there. He used to be a fashion model. He was on Germany's Next Top Model with Heidi Klum. He also was on stage on American Idol doing a catwalk thing with a pair of underwear on and with Katy Perry. So you would think, oh, this guy, he has a YouTube channel. He does a lot of horsing around and stuff like that. So I imagine that people would think this guy, oh, he's not really a comedian. Well, he is. His stand-up is pretty funny, and he was a really cool guy to talk to. He was interesting, and I had all these questions thinking it was just going to be a real quick, snappy interview, and it was just a conversation. So, and then also joining me will be comedian Michael Albanese, who was just in Atlanta for the Red Clay Comedy Festival and is back in New York. And he produces the podcast with Robert Kelly. What is the name of that show?
Oh, you're talking about with and BJ Okerson, that one?
Uh-huh. Yes. He's a third mic on that.
Yeah.
I believe he produced it. So we're going to talk about that, too. See, hey, you know, if you like this show a lot, you can become a Patreon member and get access to our weekly Patreon-only show. Sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's shorter. but it's a lot of fun. This week we did a breakdown, or we just watched along with an old cartoon that used to air in the 60s, but we grew up watching it in the 70s, called Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse, right? Minute Mouse? Forgot already. But we watched an episode of that, and it's a lot of fun. Bob Kane created it, the creator of Batman, and we sort of sit there and make fun of it a little bit. And we do stuff like that every week. And so you can come in at any level, $1 all the way up, and have access to our Patreon show. Or you can become a Patreon producer. If you become a producer of the show, you get a credit and your name read and all that jazz. You get a t-shirt, and I'll do a drawing for you, a pop culture related drawing. And how about that? I can either do it freehand on, with paper and pencil, or on an iPad. Our $25 producer level producers are Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jim Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Mike D, and Matt Carter. So thank you guys very, very much. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And you don't have to turn on the alerts. Maybe you do. I don't know. But comment for sure. Comment. We like to read them. Sometimes I'll do a goofy voice if I haven't destroyed it doing Trump, which is very rare on this show. So that probably won't happen again for a while. But I really did, man. I shredded it. And yeah, it's great. Dustin does a kick-ass job editing this show. We're close to 1,000 subscribers, and that's attainable for us, and that's what we want to get. So once we get there, we get sweet AdSense money, baby. And we also have a store on there you can check out, too, or at least a link to it. We're going to put it up there. And but if you're, you know, traditionalist and you're listening to us on your favorite podcatcher, just remember to rate and review us there. And if we happen to catch it and it's new, we'll read it and have a lot of fun with that. So unless there's anything else you guys have to say, yeah, I think that's about it for us this week.
No, oh, I just wanted to say to Tim Allen, you know, they longtime supporter, him and Amy of the show. They lost their dog, Gunner, a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and they were pretty... Gunner is a good old boy, and but they got a new puppy. So I just wanted to tell him sorry about Gunner. And also...
Gunner and Rizzo were hanging out.
That very well could be. And also, I never did get to say to Chris Ellingwood, his parents went to Gwinnett County and they adopted a dog like about a month and a half ago. And have been spoiling the crap out of this dog. And they're so sweet to do this. And it's an older dog, and nobody else would have probably taken it. And anyway, so there's a lot of listeners of the show. They're such sweeties.
That's awesome.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We do that anytime something like that happens. That's awesome. We have good listeners, longtime listeners, people who've been with us since, God, when did we start this? December of 2015. And we've been going strong ever since. Thank you. If you've made it this far and you're a new viewer, thank you for sticking with us. We really appreciate it. We really do. And we've brought on a whole bunch of new people, right, Dustin?
Yeah. Yeah. In the last few weeks, hundreds.
Well, that's awesome. So thank you very much. Keep listening. Let us know in the comments and stuff what you like to hear us talk about and all that jazz. And again, I promise I won't destroy my voice. I won't destroy my voice, Dan Trump. Promise. I really pushed it too much. All right. Till next week, please remember to
keep it defend.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters.
On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.